Welcome to the Tippy Tappy Sports Podcast. It's once again the Brothers Timms holding the fort.
Holding the fort until guests show up, which will never be the case.
Yes, they will. We've got guests. We'll have guests in due course.
Guests lined up. You've been working on the guest list, haven't you, Timms?
Yeah, I've really been producing it up, looking to get some guests. I spoke to Well, I thought Wayne Arthurs would be a good guest.
Great kick serve. Great kick serve. Very good on the podcasts.
Yeah.
When did you speak to Wayne Arthurs?
I emailed Wayne. It was just sort of wayne@arthurs.com. I haven't heard back. Haven't heard back from Wayne. But I was sort of just thinking about various, interesting characters, the real journeyman of Australian sport.
Yeah.
And Wayne Arthurs was our top of the list.
You want that to be the theme of this podcast, just journeyman. Journeyman podcasters with journeyman sports people.
Sure. Why not?
That's a great theme, Nate. And yes. So he hasn't replied to your pitch to come and appear on our non-paying podcast.
No. I mean, surely these people
have a lot of corporate speaking gigs, Wayne Arthurs. I mean,
but they don't get paid to appear on podcasts, though, do they? No one gets paid to do that.
I mean, if you're going after the big names like Arthurs, yeah, I think you got to have some dry powder. You got to get ready to detonate the dry powder. You know,
yeah. Any other guests that you'd like me to approach? I mean, I did consider Paul Wade, the early 90s Socceroos captain.
Yeah, Wados. Charlie Yankos would be good.
I think Charlie Yankos is too busy being a commercial real estate agent.
Yeah, well, maybe we could ask him to come onto the podcast under the guise of discussing real estate, but actually, what we just want to talk about is free kick. In the Gold Cup.
87. 88.
By Centenary. But who else? I think kind of, you know, I actually tried to talk to Paul Rifle when he was at the Major League Cricket Texas. Because I was like, because he was an umpire then. I was like, it'd be good to talk to Paul Rifle, but apparently, you know, he didn't want to do any media. So I was like, come on, mate. Like, you're Paul Rifle. You have no place being precious about speaking to the media.
Maybe people will realize that he actually is as boring as he looks.
Yeah. Well, strangely underrated bowler, I would suggest. You know,
but he was very, I would say he really laid the groundwork for people like Scott Boland.
He does have that sort of classic tur. He's got sort of the tur face, that sort of trademark Anglo sort of just does enough. He just does enough.
Yeah,
as a bowler,
always there or thereabouts.
Yeah, there we go. Favorite expression, there or thereabouts, should be the name of this podcast.
Oh, I thought it was going to be forwarded many times.
Yeah, well, that hasn't worked out. Floated that.
You got the Twitter handle, though.
Got the Twitter handle. That's the most important thing. But, I think there or thereabouts could be good because that does sort of just sum up the spirit of the journeyman, the trundler.
Exactly.
Trundlers. I mean, trundlers are really what we celebrate on this podcast, aren't they?
Who has the domain trundlers.com?
Let's look it up.
What a great media platform that could be.
Yeah, Trundlers.
It's
available.
Trundlers.com.
Yeah. Buy it now.
Get it. Quick. Add it to all the other domains that I've bought, not done anything with.
Yeah, what were some of the others that you bought?
Pickup.com.
Okay.
I actually think of any, but
pickup.com.au.
Yeah, get the
pickup.biz.
.info.
Yeah,
We're getting off topic. We're getting off topic.
Yeah,
let's talk about the match overnight in the Cricket World Cup.
Yeah, interesting match, wasn't it? You stayed up to watch that one?
I did. I did watch the first half. I watched Australia batting, and it's this one. Obviously, you know, played at one of my favorite stadia, at Chinnaswamy in Bengaluru.
Yeah, a lot of good memories there for you.
So I thoroughly enjoyed walking on the field with the Bangalore groundsman.
Yeah,
and he took us on a tour. He showed us the surprisingly sophisticated plumbing that they have, you know, which allows the drainage of the ground.
Well, they're famous for their plumbing, aren't they?
They are. You know, if you need a plumber in India, Bangalore's the place to go.
Yeah, just go to the cricket ground in Bangalore.
Yeah, and ask for whatever his name is.
Did they have the sort of under the stadium aesthetic, like the Real Madrid, the Santiago Bernabeu refit, or was it just a series of pipes like in the ground?
No. It was like sort of under the turf,
like a vault.
That you could walk into. Yeah. So there were parts where they had like the manhole covers on the actual field, and you know, like you could open and you could kind of, you know, pop your head out like a gopher and see what the ground was like. As someone who's never really been to experience the inner workings of a world class cricket stadium, it was impressive.
And it's almost as if that could be a way forward for one day. It's to have sort of fielders stationed down there, just you know, sticking their heads out sort of during the power play or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
In one day is now. Because I mean, we've got to revitalize the code. We've got to revitalize the format.
Yeah.
Revitalize the format.
It's cooked, but Warner and Marsh.
Yeah. No, it's good now that Australia's winning.
No, but I mean, but you know, they, apart from the fact that Warner was dropped on 10, which was almost like it was
appalling. That was like a sort of under 9 C's drop.
But no, it was like sort of Pakistan from the early 90s kind of drop. It's like, oh, the guys just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah,
fielding is just an option.
Yeah, check their bank accounts, mate.
No, so I had Warner obviously been dismissed. Things presumably would have turned out remarkably differently. But speaking of under 9 C's performances, I don't know if you saw Glenn Maxwell's wicket, but he had
a swing.
it was like the over 34, where we were
two hundred and sixty or whatever, 240. Yeah.
And he comes in like, so first ball, so stands there, hoik it into corner as though he is in the under 9 C's. I mean, mate, put it this way, I could go out there and do that.
Yeah,
that'd be fine.
Yeah, you're perfectly capable of getting out first ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, but I mean, it's good that he went out and did that, because I mean, ultimately, this is sort of, they've blown away the cobwebs with this performance. You know, they've had some, finally got some explosive hitting under their belt.
Or at least Marsh and Warner do.
Yeah. The rest, I mean, we sort of crumbled for 5 for 10 or whatever.
Yeah, it was pretty
final
pathetic.
10. I mean, the final 10 hours, we should have scored more than 400. But I mean, but it was it's good performance from the boys, and
Stoinis is overrated, let's be honest.
He's got the influencer girlfriend, and that's what he's there for.
Him and Zampa.
Zampas Stoinis Inglis. It's actually when you cast in your eye down, it is a very Greek looking lineup that we have now.
Inglis. Zampis.
Warner would be Varnaris.
Yeah.
Marsh. Yeah. Maris.
Mars.
Maxwell. Maxigis.
Maxigis.
Maxigis. Fifth, I guess. We'll just call him Papadopoulos, you know, Greek equivalent.
Yeah, classic.
Labuschagne. Labuschagne is a tough one. Probably
yeah.
Lambros.
Yeah.
Lambroscanus or something. Cummins. Gyminos.
Gyminos, yeah,
Gyminos. Gyminos means cumin in Greek.
Yeah.
Stark, yeah. Starkis, obviously. Hazelwood, Hazos, stupid. and Zambas. Fully Greek.
Basil
11.
Basil Zambas.
Basil Zempelas.
Yeah. Well, that's that sounds like a pretty good team. I mean, imagine the off season like with them going to Mykonos, and what's that stupid club that everyone. Scorpios. Scorpios or whatever.
You spent some nights in Scorpios, haven't you, mate?
God, it's like how many you actually have to be a rolled gold dickhead to be able to get in.
Yeah. That's where
that's why Stoins there.
Cup.com was born. Oh, you saw Stoins, yeah. Yeah, Stoins. So that was a good performance from the boys. And
it's like the batting obviously started off exceptionally well.
Yeah, everyone else failed.
Basically. I mean, Inglis looked good for a bit.
Yeah.
And then obviously got out doing one of those stupid ramp shots.
Yeah.
But more importantly, like the bowling is not actually that good. Like they're sort of persisting with the three pace bowlers. Yeah, yeah. And that just doesn't seem to work. I mean, they should have, given the number of runs that Australia scored, like, I mean, they should have demolished Pakistan, you know, for 180 or whatever. But, I mean, even though it was ultimately a relatively handsome victory, like, you would have, you kind of, if you're going to score that many runs, like, you need to sort of thrash someone South African style by, like, you know, 150 runs or something like that, just to improve the net run rate.
Well, what about Zampas? What about Zambas? I mean,
he looks sort of tired. It's like he's like the work experience kid who's coming towards the end of his time, and he's all tuckered out.
I'll ball leg break. that was the narrative around this squad, like after we lost our first two matches, wasn't it? It was like, oh, you know, they're tired because they had to play the Ashes and then go and, you know, do these other weird lead up one day series in various places, and now they've just got nothing left in the tank. Meanwhile, you've got Sean Tate, Tony Abbott back in you know, just carving it up.
Yeah.
Just ready to be unleashed.
Yeah. Or drop catches.
Yeah. There we go. It's good to see.
It is good to see. And it's obviously, I mean, everyone likes Pakistan. I mean, Pakistan was some kind of like neutral's favorite, right?
Most liked, everyone's second team, Pakistan, except for India, that's right. I guess. Shaheen Shah Afridi basically is sort of the subcontinental Stark, which we spoke about last time, I think.
Yeah.
He's kind of the one, you know, he's just got the big in-swinger.
Yeah.
Just go for the big in-swinger, and if you can't get a wicket with that, then, that's it. That's it. Got no other options. Maybe bowl some bounces or something.
Yeah, or just get tonked around the park and then, but then come back and take five wickets.
Yeah.
The guy who was quite impressive was Usman.
Yeah, Usman.
He's a very, very handy, spinner. He's got quite, he's very tall for a spinner.
Mm.
You sort of expect at that height he'd be sending down the Pakistani pace, but
yes.
He's wrong and looked good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that to come good. And what about the match before? I mean, you know, we've spoken about the match that happened overnight. Of course, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably be about a week old. But you know, our last match, of course, the one before this was also a victory.
Sorry, which game are you talking about exactly?
Our third match in the World Cup.
Oh, against Sri Lanka.
Yes, that's right, against Sri Lanka.
Yeah, you're talking about the game before. It's like you're talking about the Netherlands, like the Dutch.
I'm talking about Australia. I'm purely focused on Australia. When it gets into a big tournament situation, my mentality is, as an elite podcaster, I only talk about my own team.
So you just focus on the things that you can control.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Worry about those things.
Don't worry about the opposition. Okay, don't worry about what the grade cricket is doing. Okay, what
we're doing. Trust the process.
Trust the process. Focus on your plans and execute. And that's what we're doing here on trundlers.com.
I think that they write down the plans. Like, how do they articulate
what at the great plans? Cricketer?
No, I'm just thinking like cricketers. You know, when
bowler bouncer. I mean, it's how complicated is it? It's like bowler bouncer and then soften him up with a bouncer and then bowler Yorker. Sort of about it. I mean, it's ultimately like there's just one big idea, I think, for each batter. You make them sort of bowl short on the leg side or whatever. Bowl short on the leg side and they'll pop it up and we'll have someone stationed short so they can take the catch.
Yeah, but these are not sort of, well, I mean, obviously Australia and PowerPoint has got a very fractured history with the Australian cricket team and PowerPoint.
Indeed.
But they're not sort of sitting down and, you know, drafting management plans. To be approved by a two pizza team or anything like that.
Well, who do you think would be capable of putting together a good deck in the Australian team?
Well, it'd obviously, you know, it'd be, dare I say, the guys who went to university. Kawaja.
You need a Bachelor of Arts to put together a PowerPoint. Cummins and who?
Kawaja.
Oh, Kawaja. Kawaja. Yeah. So you did like sort of business degree or something, right?
Bachelor of Social Science or something like that.
Yeah, Cummins. Cummins has the Sapiens and Ray Dalio's book on his bookshelf. he's a deep thinker. He's a deep thinker. But no, Stoyan's looking good. He sort of looks a bit sort of banged up or something. I was watching the post match interview with Watto and Aaron Finch, and they're both like, I mean, Finch is just really boring, isn't he? I mean, I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about what a wonderful commentator it is and how good it is to have someone who's recently retired to be commenting on the match because they understand exactly how it works, but they've just come out of it. I'm like, yeah, but he's so boring.
He is.
I mean, Watto at least has a bit of the kind of he's got which is ultimately all you want. I mean, you don't really want expert commentary. You just want some catchphrases, some sort of a stupid
some
laugh.
Mick Malloy.
Yeah, like catchphrases, stupid laugh, and then, you know, maybe a bit of manufactured tension with one of the other sort of commentators. A la Tony Gregg, Bill Laurie. But yes, Finch was really boring, but Stoinis had like a lot of sort of scars on his face or whatever. I'm not sure what's going on there. Maybe he got a bit too close to the Bengaluru pipes, if you know what I mean. But I don't know what that means. Pickup.com. So that was good. And what else? I think that's pretty much all we have to say about the World Cup, isn't it?
No. Well, I mean, we obviously haven't spoken about the performance by the Dutch against their
well, as it was described, South Africa C. South Africa C, because South Africa, South Africa B, and then I guess
and then England
is South Africa A. I think it was a joke. I saw someone make that joke and I was like, you got to think a bit too much for it to make sense. So, that was just a classic post-colonial grudge match, wasn't it? I mean,
That's what's good about it.
But it went the other way, you know. The colonizer won, so we shouldn't be applauding that, especially in this week of colonial aggression. I know that you're a little cautious to comment on the unfolding situation in Gaza, but
Gaza.
I think you know, at pickup.com, we need to lend our voice to the people protesting colonization and oppression and occupation of stolen lands.
So actually, speaking of Gaza, I was reminded earlier in the week about the Jordan Henderson anecdote where he was playing. I can't remember which game he was playing in, but one of his teammates had a wristband, and it said on it "Free Gaza," and Jordan Henderson didn't sort of read it properly, and he said, "Is Gaza in prison?"
Well, we've all made that mistake. It's because in a Les Murray voice, he was right, you know, "Free Gaza." he's obviously, well, didn't he just say when he was kind of back with the England camp, he was like, I don't know why all these gay people are upset at me for going and taking the Saudi money. What an idiot.
Rightly off topic.
Bit off topic. But anyway, so.
So the Dutch, it's great to see.
Great to see.
Even as the colonial aggressors, you know, when it comes to cricket, they are a minnow nation. You know, they are. Do they have test status? I can't remember if they do. I mean, Ireland does.
Yeah, I think they're nudging up into test status. But I mean, no one plays tests anymore. So you know, basically, if you're not, you know, England, India, or Australia, you're not really playing much test cricket. But
South Africa.
South Africa, not so much, I don't think, even. I mean, it's definitely England. England and India play the most test cricket. We don't, I think because of COVID or whatever, we haven't played as much as them. But, it's wonderful to see. Great to see Afghanistan get up as well.
Yep.
Get up over the opposition. I've already forgotten. I mean, it's like match 30 of the World Cup.
Match day 30 or 30th
match. Actually, what are we up to now? Oh, we're only up to the 24th match, I think, 25th maybe.
Of 50.
Or actually, 50. No, I think we're at the 20th of, isn't it like 40 or something in the initial stage? Whatever, it's a lot. It's too many, and they should just cut it off now. Do the table as it is now. That'll do. That's enough.
Yeah, just call it quits.
Move on to the sudden deaths, and away you go.
Sure. Why not? Because the game that'll probably settle the top four would be Australia, England, which I think is towards the end of next week.
Yeah,
but you know,
you've got circled on the calendar, don't you?
But who knows? Who knows which Australia will turn up? Just kind of like lumbering along, and it'll probably be a bit of a nothing game. But I guess it's almost like the Rugby World Cup in that, you know, you don't really pay attention to the group games, or if it's on, you might happen to watch it. But we'll obviously see what happens. Obviously the other curio to have taken place in the last couple of days was all of the attention given to Shane Watson's shirt buttons.
Indeed, yeah. He loosened. I think he got a size up on the broadcast last night because he sized up because he was, you know, mocked so mercilessly. So he's looking quite roomy on the TV last night, on the tele. Well, the tight shirt look is still extremely popular in Australia, though, isn't it? I mean, the sort of that look has basically, I mean, you talk about cultural stagnation, that sort of CBD office look of tight shirt with the sort of too tight pants and kind of the pointy shoes has basically been around for 20 years now.
But that's the real estate agent staple.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you'd know about that. I mean, you work in the CBD. You're often in the CBD on business.
Often. I mean, you know, that's the uniform which allows you to go, you know, straight from the opening of a 2-bedroom apartment in Bronte down to the Randwick Racecourse
yeah,
to the Everest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Randwick down to the races. I mean, what's the tightest shirt that you have these days, Timsy? You got some pretty tight gear.
Guys, that gear was really tight.
Gut hugging gear. You got some gut hugging gear.
Some solid gear. Oh yeah, look, I mean it's a good look. I'm glad Watson felt ashamed and did size up. But this is just another reason why you don't need cameras in the commentary box.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But back to our main thing.
Yeah.
Cameras in the commentary box. We don't need to see Adam Collins.
Hello.
Jeff Lemon. There was actually a very funny tweet from Collo the other day that someone sent to me where it was the England match against, oh no, it was the Dutch match against South Africa. And Collo tweeted, oh man, I hope that Mark Nicholas is doing the post-match interview for this. He'd strike just the right note. I'm like, what a bizarre thing to want, but also articulate, put into the public domain. Oh, you know, the match is over, this sort of historic upset. It's like, oh God, I hope we're getting Mark Nicholas here. You know, he's amazing. I mean, obviously he wouldn't have said it. Yeah, he's such an unattractive man. He's sort of got that kind of marsupial look about him as well.
Yeah.
With the sort of the stiff hair.
You're talking about Collins, not...
Yeah, Collo. Yeah, who cares about Mark Nicholas? I mean,
Yeah.
Mark Nicholas is just whatever, you know, he's the past. Collo's the future.
Yeah.
Collo's the future.
Should I email Collo from trundlers.com and see if he wants to come on the podcast?
maybe you know, once we start going viral, I think we can loop him in.
This
might not be the moment. It's been a good chat, good one.
No, it has. It has. It's,
just around, well, we're running out of time on the.
Yeah, we are running out of time.
We're under constraints. It's kind of like, you know, Michelangelo Sistine Chapel. Like, he's only got so much room on the roof, on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It's like, you know, we are operating under these artistic constraints of Zoom. And I think
that's right. You know, will there be sort of like nudes and dick? And whatnot. I mean, probably not.
Well, there could be on the Instagram post that you'll put out to accompany this episode. You always choose a kind of art piece to go with it, which speaks to the themes of the podcast or the episode. So you could do that. But
might go with the tight shirt. Looking forward, let's say the Australia England game. We'll see. Yeah. See what happens there. It probably won't be a whole lot to report on. But what will also be good is by the time we next speak, you will know who the finalists are in the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, and, indeed, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We can talk about Marseille. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. The Villeglum.
Yeah.
The Marseille, and of course there'll be a lot of Premier League news to catch up on as well. We like to.
It'll be back.
I like to spread the sports.
Yeah,
spread
yeah,
the attention.
You can't be too focused, you know, on Shane Watson's buttons. anyway, well,
pause for laughter.
okay, thank you. Yep.
Okay, thanks, mate.
Thanks.
Good
See
one.
You then.
Yeah. All right. We'll do it like the end of the on pitch interview with. The player be like, yeah, thanks, man. And then there's like sort of a a little bit of banter, you know, from the former players with the current players.
Yeah,
yep, bye.
Yeah, bye.